Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That is the show that you're listening to now, where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. I'm Bruce Johnson, joined, of course, by my brother Jacob Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
And today we are talking about court cases. But not really. Not all of them are necessarily court cases. Because there's a lot to talk about this week, and some of it relates to government schooling. Some of it relates to what Christians are celebrating this very month in the face of the disgusting things that the heathen are celebrating. There's a lot to get to, and then at the end of this episode, we're going to wrap it all up with a quick theological discussion, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes. We'll see how it goes. What happens when a nation decides it hates its children? I wonder what could happen if a nation decides that it hates its own children. Probably be a good thing. But before we get into all of that, we have to do what we always do, which is talk about our verse of the week. Our verse this week is Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. It is one verse. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. It took us 303 episodes, but we made it. Genesis 9:1 says, quote, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Genesis 9:1. Simple, yet potent. Simple, and yet it stands in the face of almost every single lie that the left wants you to believe and wholeheartedly give your life to. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In this passage are several assumptions, more assumptions than we have time to get to now. One of them is that human beings are not, in fact, the blight of the earth. Because remember, this was given to Adam, but it is also given to Noah. And what is Noah post? He's post a specific event. He's post-fall. Noah is post-fall. And still, him and his descendants are told to be fruitful and multiply. Which means that, yes, while we are under the curse of sin, humans filling the earth with more humans, with more Imago Dei, is not wrong. It's, in fact, a command from God. Be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth with human beings. So strange. It's almost as if the earth were created for human beings to glorify God with it. How strange. This verse, though, also stands in the face of many of the left's principles when it comes to culture shaping, right? They hate human beings because their father, the devil, hates human beings, right? They hate human beings so much. It's lived out in so many ways. One of them is environmentalism, right? Humans are the problem. We're the people who, A, we're apparently little gods who have control over the weather. Wow, who knew? Did you know that, Jake? I didn't know I had control over the weather. That's crazy. I thought that was in the hands of our sovereign Lord and Creator. Apparently, we're in charge of that. Weird. But then also, they think human beings are the problem. We are the blight. So not only are we small g little gods who have control over all things, we are also the problem and need to be eradicated. But as China is very quickly figuring out, that is, going against the very command of the creator of the universe doesn't work out so well culturally when you actually, try to enforce it. And now they're like, oh, darn it, what have we done? We need more kids. Ha! Ha! If only, I'm done. So there's that. But then literally, they are murdering their own children. Murdering their own children. Let that sink in. I know, we're desensitized to this, right? Murder of babies has been around for decades now. Well, that's not fair. It's been around for 6,000 years. But today we've legalized it. And now, as you're going to hear on our Friday episode, which we recorded with Aaron Youngren, when we celebrate the fact that it's no longer legal, it's no longer protected over the whole United States to murder your children, when we celebrate that fact with a party, giving out free food and singing psalms to the Lord. They hate it with a passion. How dare you celebrate life? What's wrong with you, pathetic humans, celebrating a glorious survive, like protecting life? How dare you celebrate that? All of this stands in the face of God's exact command here: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And don't forget, how did this passage start? And God blessed Noah and his sons. And what is this blessing? Children, the ability to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. It's a blessing. And we're going to talk so much more about that at the end of the episode. But now, let's move into the core, the heart of this episode, and talk about our current events. Jacob, what in the name of Mike happened this week? It's big.
Yeah, obviously. When exactly was Life Day? When was that? What?
June 24th.
That was June 24th. So that
the day
was
in 2022 that Roe v. Wade was overturned in America.
Yeah. So, very, very big thing, and I bet everybody's expecting me to go over some sort of article speaking about that. Sadly, I am not. However, like the overturning of Roe v. Wade, like resetting these precedents that we have thought to be law of the land for so long, we have another issue that is being brought up, and that is just last week, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry allowed a bill to pass that would require every state-funded education institution to display a poster-sized print of the Ten Commandments. Of course, wow. Everybody thinking that, you know, oh, wait, the First Amendment of the Constitution, wait, you're not supposed to establish religion, you know, and this exact thing was decided years ago. I think someone specifically said 40 years ago. This was decided in a landmark decision of the Supreme Court, which said that the displaying of the Ten Commandments in public school and praying in the public school was banned, was not allowed, because it was an establishment of religion. It was a depiction of religion. So here we come again to another thing which we all have thought is law of the land for so long. Could it be overturned? Here is a specific quote from the bill itself. As I was researching this, as I was going through all this, I was looking at all these articles, and I was like, I don't feel like they're actually giving me, because of course, if you go to leftist news sources, they're just going to tell you it's evil.
It's called propaganda.
Exactly. Yeah. So what all these things are telling you is not actual fact, and I couldn't trust what they were saying. And you go to Republican news sources, and it's like, okay, we're just fluffing this up because we like it. Are we actually getting real things out of this? So I decided, you know, I'm going to forget about the articles for a second. I want to go to the actual bill, read what the actual bill itself says, right? And I pulled this quote, or this section of the bill from it, that tells you exactly what is being done here. And I think this is perfect and will give you definitely a great summary of what is being required, what is being allowed, what is happening. This is House Bill number 71. This is the bill. And the quote says, each public school governing authority and the governing authorities of each non-public school that receive state funds shall display the Ten Commandments in each building it uses and classroom in each school under its jurisdiction. The nature of the display shall be determined by each governing authority with a minimum requirement that the Ten Commandments shall be displayed on a poster or framed document that is at least 11 inches by 14 inches. The text of the Ten Commandments shall be the central focus of the poster or framed document and shall be printed in large, easily readable font. End quote.
Wow.
I could have left off that little bit at the end talking about the specifics of how this is supposed to be framed, you know, the size, the dimensions, you know, the font, right? But I thought that was great, you know, because they went into specifics here, right? To make sure that there weren't going to be people that were going to be like, oh, well, you know, and they said we got to display the Ten Commandments. But so we're going to just do this little keychain sized thing and just set it up there and we'll fulfill the requirement. No, no, they have the dimensions. That's the minimum requirement. So yep. What is this? You know, of course, you know, I bet most Christians are like, great, the Ten Commandments, God's laws now being put up in government schools. Great, great, great. Mm-hmm. You know. And I do have something to say about that, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But continuing down, right, of course, everybody's loving this, the Republicans specifically are loving this. And this bill was signed by the governor amidst the backlash. Of course, we understand that there's going to be backlash to this. If the Republicans like it, the Democrats hate it. So there are screams from the left to veto the bill. And, of course, the governor did not veto it. He signed it and made it to go through. And of course, like I've been saying, the left is outraged. And, you know, of course, why not they? I wanted to read a specific quote from a left-leaning article. I will have this article in the description. So if you read this one, it is by USA Today. If you do read this one, please take it with a very large grain of salt or salt block, please. And this quote is, the first 10 words of the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights of in America's Constitution are about protecting us from the kinds of laws Landry just signed. Of course, that law being that the Ten Commandments be put into public schools. Bruce, I wanted to get your thoughts on this quote before I elaborate any further.
Mm-hmm. There are so many things. I mean, honestly... Oh, where to start? There, first of all, the Constitution is a dead letter, and people only selectively listen to what they want to listen to from it. Mm-hmm. B,
yeah,
instituting a church is a very different thing from hanging up what is, in fact, the law of the land. We are a Christian nation, regardless of whether they want to acknowledge that or not. A judicial ruling in the early 1900s, late 1800s, declared us to be literally a Christian nation. It's undeniable, right? We're founded as a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We exist as a Christian nation. And so to post the Ten Commandments in a Christian nation is the most logical, reasonable, familiar, normal, standard, least abnormal, should I go on? Thing in the universe. This is literally that you don't go to where the Muslims reign and complain about them hanging up parts of the Quran in their court halls.
Yeah.
You don't. Why? Because you're not trying to convert them to secularism. Why? Because you're all of the same father, the devil. sorry. Going there, that you cannot escape religion. You will never, there is no such thing as neutrality. Getting to a place where you can say, you know, oh, you know, not hanging the Ten Commandments in a school is being neutral, but putting up a pride flag is also being neutral. Excuse me, that's your religion that you're imposing on those people. Somebody's religion is going to get imposed. It's not a question of whether, but which.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is like, if we take to mean the Constitution to mean what we think it means, what we think this First Amendment to mean what we think it means, then these founding documents would be considered instituting a religion already, right? Because what does the Declaration of Independence say? The Bill of Rights. I think it's the Declaration of Independence. I will stay on that track. It says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Right. What is it first saying there? Endowed by who? Our Creator. Right. It is assuming a Christian religion already. Right. And that this Christian God, that this God, the true and living God, gives us these rights, these unalienable rights.
It was signed how? in the year of our Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
That, first, so many others.
Oh, sorry.
So many other reasons why this is a Christian nation. And the good news is we don't have to collect them all. Literally, the Supreme Court collected those for us in the late 1800s.
Yeah. First, I was coming up with points to go after this argument. But first, I wanted to say this does not force anyone to follow the Christian religion, right? You're putting this up as a plaque. You're putting the Ten Commandments up on the wall. No one is being forced to follow them, to read them, right? The teacher, surely, I would say, will not teach on them, will not teach the kids what they even are, right? They'll see, oh, Ten Commandments, the children might or may not read them, right? And of course, it'll be sitting up there right next to the pride flag, right? So, you got the two competing religions right there, and the, you know, choose who in this day who you will worship, you know, right exactly, amen, right there.
Who you'll
serve. So, these are laws, right? The Ten Commandments are laws. They're not establishing a religion, necessarily, right? They do say there is one God, and you will not take the Lord's name in vain. You will not create idols for yourself, right?
You will not blaspheme the Sabbath.
Exactly. But are we seriously? And then let me just move on to my second point before I run out of time. So, while the left, right, we're supposed to hate, you know, we're supposed to say, oh, no, yeah, no, don't establish this religion. Don't establish our own religion, you know. While the left is forcing their religion on little kids, right? So, we can't force our religion, but they can, right? Mm. You can force little kids to change their gender, but how dare you suggest we place a poster on the wall that says murder and stealing are wrong. That's the bad thing here.
Yep.
Right? Why is that a bad thing?
How can you share a country with people who get offended at the very idea, at the mere suggestion, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. The next one's a little abrasive. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yeah.
I mean, at the mere mention of seeing those things on the wall, hiss, ouch, it hurts me to read those words. Oh, how can you share a country with people who think that honor thy father and thy mother is an offensive statement? Where do we go from here? I'm not condoning war. I'm just asking the question, how do you live with people who literally reel back in horror at the mere suggestion of, please don't dismember the body parts of babies? How?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely curious. Where does it go from here?
Yeah. I mean, not to say that this is a surprise, but hey, guess what? Paul is right when he said that the law reveals their sin. Mm. The law reveals our sin.
Amen.
When they see that law, they know they are wrong.
Yep.
And that same with us. I'm not saying that any of us are exempt from that. We are all wrong, but for them especially.
The Bible does say they live in a constant fear of hell, fiery expectation of hell.
To continue this, I go into kind of my own opinion. All of that is facts and my own attacking of the leftist argument. But while I do attack their arguments, because I think they are completely absurd, I do not think that this law is necessarily a good thing for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. The public schools need to be dismantled, not be a place that Republicans think is a good place for their children. I think the issue that we're running into, and that we could run into, is the fact that now Republicans can say, oh, wow, you know, we got the Ten Commandments back in our schools. Cool. My children can go there. They'll learn about the Ten Commandments. No. They'll learn the religion of the state. They'll learn the religion that wants to be taught to them. That is the religion of the devil. Currently, sadly, that the way that the earth is going, the world is going, currently, again, Christians, we will have dominion, we will win, but currently, this is the state of our government, the state of our schools. They will teach the LGBTQ religion, they will teach that murder and stealing is totally fine as long as you do it within the summer of love and as long as you do it to babies.
Mm.
Now, yeah. To provide a counter to literally what I just said, this law is a good thing if what the Louisiana governor says is the reason why he wants this bill, right? He said in a statement that this bill is meant to get sued. He wants to get sued over this bill.
Mm.
Very interesting. And he wants it to go to the Supreme Court. Why is that? It's very interesting because he wants the same thing that happened with Roe v. Wade to happen with this.
Hmm.
He wants, and we've been seeing it in the news recently, these lines are being drawn between Christian nationalists and the world. The idea here is to create that distinction. Clarity is the biggest enemy to the, yeah, to this world. Having that clarity, seeing these lines drawn, who is on good and who is on right.
Yep.
That clarity is perfect. And that's what wants to be
exactly
done here.
What the devil doesn't want. He wants confusion. He wants smoke, mm-hmm, everywhere. He wants you not to see what he's doing so that you're distracted. Look over here, right? It's all just it's diversion. Clarity destroys that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that is the purpose, if that is the idea, right, I like this bill. However, I do not like the side effects of Republicans saying, oh, hey, guess what? Public schools are fine now. No, they're not. That's just being ignorant to the world in which we live in.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Supreme Court decisions that were overturned, I know Bruce wants to talk about one that was also overturned, and that is Life Month, where we were talking about Life Month. So I hand it over to Bruce to continue on that discussion.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, June 24th, 2022, the worst judicial decision in American history was overturned in a glorious triumph of the kingship of Christ in America. We celebrated that yesterday here in Moscow. That would have been Monday. And it was glorious. I mean, hundreds of people turned out to celebrate. We're giving away free food. We're singing psalms. We're doing, air quotes, battle against protesters by singing psalms at them. And it was glorious. It was a wonderful celebration of Christ's triumph in America. But the battle's not over. That it was good. It was glorious. We should celebrate it. When Christ gives us a victory, God gives us a win, we should celebrate that with every fiber of our being. The thing that we prayed for almost a half a century, came true. Christ is King. And yet, we still have to deal with the question, what happens when a nation decides it hates its children? Roe v. Wade didn't come out of nowhere. It came from cultural collapse. It came from the cultural demise of a people that resulted in the protection of the murder of 60 plus million babies. Protecting that heinous action. Clearly, we are a country that hates our children. what happens now? Psalm 78, 4 through 8, quote, this is talking about the law of God, the commandments of God, the cultural lifestyle of the Bible. Quote, we will not hide them, the commands, from our children, but we will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Psalm 78, 4 through 8. This is the devil's worst fear. Generational, covenantal succession. Children being raised in the nurture and enculturation of the Lord. Children who are raised to be arrows. Children who are raised to not make the mistakes of the generations before them, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's the devil's worst fear. And if you can't corrupt them, why not just kill them instead? That's what the devil tells a nation to do when he gets at their throat. Now he is bound. He can no longer deceive the nations, but all he has to do is poke. And unfortunately, we deceive ourselves. We forsake Christ. But Psalm 127 has an answer. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 127. We are not the ones who will change this culture. We are not the ones to bring cultural revival and transformation in and of ourselves. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, you could substitute nation. The watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that we get up early in the morning. It's in vain that we go to late to rest. It's in vain. All of this is vanity, right? As the preacher says, Ecclesiastes. It's all vanity. Unless we are on the Lord's side. This is again, we're not the ones trying to get him on our side. We're the ones who need to abandon our side and get on his. But what does that look like? That's why we gave it up. We gave up God's side and said, no, we want God on ours. That's what the Republican Party does today. That's what led to Roe v. Wade. That's what led to the cultural demise we're in today. Christians, the church, the ecclesia, the called out people of God who are supposed to be preserving culture said, I'm out. Peace. Effectively, they said, you know what? That's not our job. And you get what happened with Roe v. Wade. Now, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And he gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve what happened in 2022. But God decided to give us that victory. He decided to interpose and put a stop to that murder of innocence, which is glorious. But aside from him doing that, that doesn't happen. We worked for how many years? And ultimately, it was some fluke of one of the justices dying preemptively and Trump being able to appoint someone who, let's be honest, is not that great. Amy Coney Barrett has flopped. She's voted more in the favor of Democrats than she has in favor of Republicans. But God happened to use her in that one instance to put a stop to this murderous act, right? It's all in God's hands. It's not us. Lest we get conceited and full of ourselves. It is of Christ that no man should boast. That's what we need to remember. That's what causes a nation to murder its own children, is when we get conceited and we think, it's us. We've got this. Let's go. Right? Let's vote for Trump. It's all about us. It's all about the strategy. And if we don't make the right strategy, what happens? Right? So to answer the question, what happens when a nation decides it hates its own children? Cultural demise everywhere. Because we don't just hate our own children. We hate ourselves. We hate our own gender. We hate our own marriages. We hate our own jobs. We hate our own lives. We get immense amounts of depression, anxiety, gender dysphoria, lack of, look at the reading rates, plummeting. Not just dropping, they're plummeting. They're racing for the bottom, right? You get cultural demise, economic demise, morality declining at an all-time low. You get the destruction of a nation. This is what happens time and time again. That's where we're headed when we hate our own children. But more importantly, that's where we're headed if we don't stop relying on ourselves. We don't stop saying, I'm in charge. I got this. I'm going to vote my way out of this. That will fail every time. And it's failing right now. What? We're going to put Trump on the throne? Yay! What's he going to do? Give us another fluke judge who turns out not to be our friend anyways? Great! It's glorious. Let's do that. Good strategy, guys. Great plan. I'm with the God of the universe, though. I'd much rather be on his side than try to get him on mine for my cockamamie ideas. I think let's not go with that one. And with that, thank you all so much for listening or watching us today. Jacob, thank you so much for all your research. Yep, that's the word I'm going to use. Resorching. Thanks for resorching things for us there, Jakey boy. this episode is brought to you by people who can't speak. We're a dude who can't speak, apparently. We are looking forward to you joining us on our Friday episode, where we have a great discussion with Aaron Youngren, who actually, I have his book right here. Ha, it's within arm's reach. It's called Undiscovered, Adventure, Conquest, and the Search for Great Products. Really, really good book. We talked to Aaron Youngren, and that episode will go live on Friday. He was my former boss over at redballoon.work. So you're not going to want to miss that. Until then, have a wonderful, rest of your week until Friday. And remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.